welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first official episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. I want to thank you all for joining us today on today's episode as we begin this journey together to sharpen our skills and knowledge as sustainers. I hope that all our conversations spark discussions at every level so we can better equip ourselves for all the future challenges. To begin this official podcast, I found it truly fitting to discuss the integration of combat arms and logistics. Now, this is a topic we could spend an entire year-long series on very easily. And I know we'll have revisited it multiple times as there's many different perspectives that can provide us insight. For today, I'm going to be meeting with Captain Dave McKinney, who is an Armor officer currently serving as a small group leader at the Logistics Captain's Career Course here at the Army Sustainment University, Fort Gregg Adams, Virginia. He is a 2015 graduate of Old Dominion University. He previously served with the Op 4, the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, where he participated in 38 NTC rotations. He also served as a cavalry troop commander, an HHD commander, and a Striker Brigade Combat Team Cavalry Squadron at Fort Carson, Colorado. And we're actually both instructors here together at ASU in the Common Core phase of the Captain's Career Course. I'm so happy to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. Thanks for having me here. I just rushed over here off the podium, so we're over there teaching. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
So even before I get in, what were you teaching today?
Currently, in the course, we're teaching unit training management, which is, an area that you enjoy teaching. Mm-hmm. Common Core and Captain's Career Course, we cover a whole range of topics. They're doing their practical exercise right now for unit training management. So, they're doing really well.
I will say, that was actually one of my favorite blocks of instruction to teach was unit training management, because that could be a whole other episode just talking about that, because that can either make or break a unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's dive on in today. Today, with the integration of combat armor logistics, I think the best place to start is for you to describe to the audience what your experience has been like from the perspective of an armor officer working with logistics.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been really fortunate, again, based on my experience. I've always had worked with really great logisticians, really great FSC commanders. I've had a good experience with logistics overall and the people I've worked with. And I think what makes it so important from my perspective is the relationships you build, especially that FSC commander coming into a unit, especially a maneuver battalion. You're kind of an outsider, right? You're coming into that organization and it's going to be a little bit different. But the most successful FSC commanders and the people that I worked with did a very good job of building the relationships with the other company commanders, the maneuver company commanders, and like, hey, the question was like, how can we support you, right? Like, what can we do to make your lives a little bit easier? Which can always be a little challenging, right? I haven't seen the perspective from the FSD commander side, but I've worked with some great logistics officers. And the thing is, I'd like to think, and it's very important to my branch, obviously, and again, based on my experience, armor, sustainment is everything, right? I mean, we live and die by it.
Say no fuel, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Maintenance. I mean, everything starts with that. I mean, that's the foundation of it all. I think as an armor officer, I've always had a great appreciation of logistics and I've always appreciated it. It's definitely extremely critical. When we talk large scale combat, large formations, and ABCTs and everything we're teaching in the course, it's critical.
Okay. So I know we'll be getting into some of your NTC experience as well today, but kind of tapping on to your deployment experience with logistics, what was that kind of like?
You like specifically deploying?
When you deployed over, or can you tell where you deployed at?
I was a company commander. I was a cav troop commander in a striker brigade deployed to Syria for 9 months. And over there, the logistics getting everything up there was a challenge. Obviously, we're kind of in a pretty austere location, but we had an FSC commander there. It was interesting because I was a cav troop and we were integrating with an infantry battalion. So bridging that gap, getting kind of acquainted with that organization, being integrated that infantry battalion, working with people I'd never worked with before, it was challenging. We inherited a lot of equipment that wasn't ours. a lot of theater provided equipment. And I don't know how those maintainers did it, but they figured it out and they made some stuff work. So it was challenging. It's difficult in an austere environment, but it really comes down to the soldiers doing the right thing. And as a leader, making sure your people are taking care of their equipment. It's not all on the maintainers to do it, right? The people, your soldiers have to take ownership of the equipment and take care of it.
So did you find yourself going right to the FSC or did you work through the S4 channel? Like, what did you find was the best? How was your experience like?
So we, you know, I worked really closely with our MCO when we were deployed. We kind of worked directly with them. We had civilians helping out as well. But we made sure that all my leadership in my company were acquainted with, you know, what the right channels to work for were, like to who to approach, right? I'm sure the most annoying thing as an FSC commander is just having your soldiers just getting pulled aside, like, hey, come work on this vehicle, come do this.
Yep.
Assigning responsibilities in FSC, ensuring that you have assigned, you know, maintainers to certain equipment, to certain organizations, making sure your people aren't getting spread out all over the place is really important. So making sure my people knew the correct channels to use were really important. I worked really closely with that FSC. The S4 in the battalion was totally doing stuff totally different. So I went kind of point to point with that FSC commander when we were downrange.
And I think from my perspective, being an Echo 4 support company commander, well, with the engineers, that worked well for me, kind of going point to point. And I noticed for me, one of the challenges I faced was, and I don't know if you would face it from some of the units you had, was I had my guys assigned to different vehicles to be working on them, but then getting the operators to come in
was
always a challenge. Like, and it was always, from some of the experiences I had, was all us as loading station maintainers, all you guys just take care of, and the operators would never show up.
Yeah, and delegating and making sure you delineate that responsibility. I was actually having a discussion this morning with another SGL. We were kind of talking about some of the points we're going over today, and she was talking. I was talking to a couple of SGLs, and they were talking about, making sure that if you have maintainers that are assigned to your company, like in an ABCT and your maintenance team, right? Who's responsible for those soldiers, right? And like, those are the soldiers you're going to. Who's responsible for, you know, taking care of them? Like, they're going to take care of your vehicles, but you're responsible for everything that they're doing, right? Like, they still answer the FSC, but they're in your organization. Like, you need to take care of them. Those are the people that you need to go to. And kind of making sure that those responsibilities are properly aligned, I think is really critical. Because, there's not enough assets. There's not enough people to go around to everybody. You have to really delineate that.
Oh, yes. It's one of those things we always talk about. Seems to never be enough assets, never enough time. And we just have to always work through that. Because I remember there'll be times where vehicles will come into my bay with literal trees stuck into them.
Yeah,
no operators around to help us pull down there, and they expected us to pull these trees stuck out of a dozer.
Yeah, exactly.
And just crazy things like that. So I know that was a challenge that I had faced as a FSC commander.
Yeah.
Sometimes just getting that, like, hey, like, the operator, you own this vehicle, my guys are down here to help you work on it, but I still need some of that assistance. So I know that was a challenge that I had faced.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes to the coordination between, again, that relationships you build between that FSC commander, because I would go point to point with my FSC commander all the time in garrison, and we were constantly kind of tracking everything that we were doing. And it was interesting transitioning from being a CAB troop commander, so being a line company commander, to I was an HHT commander as well. And then you kind of
the whole other beast.
Yeah. And you know, you're taking more of a support role then. So I feel like at that point I had more in common with my FSC commander, and I kind of got to see behind the curtain of like, oh, okay, now I'm supporting these line companies and supporting the staff, everything else. So I worked a lot more with my FSC commander, just in a different kind of way as an HHT commander. Cause now we were kind of working together to support everybody. So that was interesting as well, and a unique challenge in itself. So,
oh yes. When I was HHT commander, it was such a different challenge, because then half the time, half your operators are your rank or higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those vehicles, so then you just have a small pocket. And I did find that the commanders I had a great relationship with, especially those who reached back to me, always had a better maintenance program, because we were able to work one-on-one, making sure their equipment was up, compared to some of the other commanders would be like, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And there was that tension, so you could see it with the maintenance. So like, hey, I need some help here, which kind of, you could just see it on the maintenance reports.
Yeah.
Right. Those commanders were, I could go back and forth with, we had that direct line of communication, and they supported us, we supported them. They had a great maintenance program.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think it's really important. My advice to new FSC commanders stepping into that role in a maneuver battalion, again, understanding, the maneuver operation, right? It all starts with kind of with that. But bridging the gap, the language between the way that, you know, you're told to kind of speak as logistics officers, right? The pilot positions, all those things, right? All of the kind of nitty gritty that comes down to being a logistician and the language that this you speak, the acronyms, everything else, understanding the way that the maneuverists are going to speak, right? The maneuver officers, and then kind of bridging that gap, right? Being able to kind of like understand where you fit into the operation. And of course that comes down to understanding, you know, what the operation is, right? You know, it's not enough to just understand, kind of read off the slide, like, you know, in the course, sometimes I feel like the students are, you know, like just reading the scheme of maneuver slide. Here they're going to be doing this, but like actually understanding specifically what those operations are, breach, wet gap crossing, whatever they are, and then what kind of sustainment, what class supply, commodities, whatever, is going to drive, like what's driving the support for this? What do you need to use to sustain those operations? So it's critical. I always tell the students, like, you know, you need to be able to talk maneuver as well or better than the maneuver officers. But yeah, obviously, you know, I always joke with them about that. But you really do need to understand the plan to be able to support it. And I think that's really important in the course. I think we really like hone in on that, but I can't stress that enough, that if you can understand the plan, you know where you fit into it, you know where you need to support, and you can better forecast how you can do that.
So what are some ways you think a logistics officer can best prepare to be, for instance, a forward support company commander?
Yeah, so honestly, again, just building the relationships, being present, being making sure that you're involved in what's happening or understand what's going on. Obviously, you're not going to be doing, you know, you got a company to worry about. You're not doing the planning for the battalion, but you're the senior logistician in that battalion. So if you're not taking that role, if you're not taking the role of logistics and helping kind of draw, like help guiding the battalion onto what's right looks like, somebody else is going to take that role, and it might not be the best way to do things. So you just need to make sure that you understand where you fit into it, and just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I definitely see your students have a great opportunity having you as an instructor, because now they're able to get. Well, it's true, because now you're able to provide that experience from being in, not just an armor officer, but living in the combat arms world, kind of giving those tips and tricks to make them successful.
Yeah, and I certainly hope so. I mean, I don't want to act like I certainly don't know everything. I definitely, you know, came to this job not entirely knowing what to expect. And it's kind of funny, because I felt like I knew something about, you know, sustainment or like logistics. I was like, oh, I was an HHT commander, right? I was like helping manage the CTCP. I was running the CTCP, doing things like that. So I felt like I understood things, and I got here and was like quickly humbled by the rest of you. But it's been super eye-opening being here.
So what has it been like then as an armor officer here at the Army Sustainment University?
It's been great. It's really interesting.
Have you been like a fish out of water?
Yeah. No, certainly not. I mean, it definitely, it was definitely getting the language down, I think, is a big piece. A lot of new acronyms. When I first got here, like FLEB, FLE, I had no idea what like a FLEB or a FLE was, for logistics elements and things like that. I had no clue. I quickly had to learn that. One thing that really struck me and still kind of strikes me every time we start a new class is just kind of the backgrounds of logistics. I think coming from a BCT and just kind of only living that BCT life, my entire experience as an armor officer, there's so many different sustainment organizations. There's so many different support things that you can do. There's so many watercraft. I mean, everything. I mean, there's so many different places. So the backgrounds of our students that come here, there's so much diversity in what they've done beforehand. So a challenge, and you probably saw it when you were in Common Core, and I would say a challenge, but, you know, getting everybody on the same page about kind of what we're looking at. You know, we're focusing on like an ABC and T in the course primarily, right? How to sustain this formation. So like, what does that look like? But everybody can bring something to the table. And it's that was the biggest thing that struck me coming here, was just kind of everybody comes from so many different backgrounds, and it's really fascinating. It's really, really cool. So
yeah, when I came here through the course, I had no experience with a BCT. I came from a movement control battalion.
Okay.
So working with movement control teams, working within my first was an inland cargo transfer company. So we're doing all container handling. Mm-hmm. So we were the ones down at Fort Hood, just moving containers.
Okay.
I was down there. We would doing your transportation requests. We'd move your 40-foot, your 20-foot containers, your tricons around.
Yeah.
Help get units ready at the railhead with that. There's just different yards we'd have to run. That was like straight logistics. Went to the battalion, did all the movement control. Got to go to Eastern Europe, customs clearance operations.
Yeah.
Then I come to the career course. Like, oh, here you go. Here's a armored brigade combat team.
Yep. Yeah. How do you sustain this? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's the thing. Like, and I wasn't the only one because it feels like so long ago now when I was in the course.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you have to sustain this thing? It's like, oh, I've never had an experience like that. So it's, which was nice because I had other people in the class who had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to, you know, help each other out. And then I was able to provide the movement control side or, you know, more of the straight logistics side of the house. So it is neat how we are very diversified in our backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Where you, like for you in armor, like it's more linear mm-hmm. on where you can go. You're more restricted.
Yeah.
On where you can go. Where a logistician, we can go any base at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you guys are a little more restricted, especially which base you can be stationed at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, you know, cavalry armor, there's a lot going on there, but yeah, not nearly as much as logistics. And I think it's really important in the course that we start off with talking about the maneuver planning common core. We really delve into the maneuver MDMP, understanding what an ABCT looks like to get everybody on the same playing field, and then kind of take it from there. Because again, they have to understand what they're supporting, like the ins and outs of that situation. Like, it's not just a breach. Like, okay, what is that unit doing during that breach? What are the steps of that like breach? How are they organizing themselves? What are we doing there? And how can you, when you see that plan as a logistician, like how are you going to fit yourself into that? What is that going to drive for you? And where do you fit into it? So it's important to understand that language and going into that role. You have to, you know.
So say I'm a lieutenant about to come to the career course. What kind of advice would you give a lieutenant that's about to come to the career course?
A student, say I come in,
Captain McKinney, you're my small group leader. I'm brand new here. How am I going to be successful in this course?
Successful? It really comes down to mastering the basics, right? Starting small, like again, we're just teaching UTM, so the crawl, walk, run, it's the same thing, you know, in the course, and it's the same thing with anything, really. You got to master the basics, right? Start with the analog things. Understand how to do things on the whiteboard, like drawing it up. In Common Core, like my whiteboards are covered in dry erase markers, and we go through the nitty-gritty of MDMP and what exactly it looks like. You know, the technology is great, right? Like, there's a lot of great tools we can use, but understanding how to do things analog, you know, the sync mats on the board, making sure that we're writing those and doing it that way. Before, you know, getting the basics, the little things down before we start diving into the big stuff. So just take it in stride, right? Focus on the 25 meter targets and then focus, you know, work your way forward. Take it one step at a time. Yeah.
And definitely hitting on the analog is very important.
Yeah.
I always like coming into your classroom is just like it's like an art show going in there.
Yeah.
All these different graphics all over the boards.
Yeah. Post-it notes everywhere. Yeah.
Pretty much, if you could have sand, you would be. I mean, on a sand table.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I joke with my students. I'm like, we're gonna go over to the woods and just build like a sand table and do everything out there. But it's important, right? Because when we don't have access to the technology, if we're in an austere environment, if we're forward deployed somewhere, we don't have the ability to use the technology. Like, how are we gonna do this? How are you gonna do your reporting as a logistician, right? I mean, it's everything. Logstat, yep. Right? The name is, it's critical. You have to keep track of what you're doing. You gotta keep good running estimates of forecasting what you need. And like I tell my students, I'm like, as a loggy, you're gonna have to like foresee the future. You're looking into the future, right? Because the maneuver commanders, their mission, they're looking at those like 25, 50 meter targets. Like, their mission's totally different. They're gonna be kind of in the trenches doing that piece. And you know, obviously maneuver, you got to forecast as well, but for you, it's all about forecasting what the next event is and how you can better prepare to support that, and when it's going to occur. So, it's all about the forecasting and having a good system down and doing that.
No, that's definitely going to be a great topic for future podcasts, just talking about, especially how do we balance technology and analog, because you bring up a great point is if when technology fails,
yeah,
you got to know how to do analog.
Absolutely.
And the chance of technology failing, especially in today's world, doesn't even have to be an EMP blast or anything. It could just be like, well, the generator ran out of fuel. We have no power.
Exactly. Right.
Or anything crazy. I mean, how many fuel actually did on the generator goes out.
Yeah. You're stuck with square one. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it comes down to everything, you know, keeping an analog common operating picture and then a digital, like, use the technology, but don't you can't overly rely on it. And I think that that's really critical. And even when I say basics, I mean really basics, like land navigation, like,
oh, yes,
at NTC, like running log packs, like knowing, do your people even know how to accurately get where they're going without a cell phone, right? Like, how are we tracking people on the battlefield? How are they communicating with each other? We do a good course a good block of instruction in the course on command posts, mission command platforms, things like that. And I take it as an opportunity to talk about communications and how your organization, like, how is your company talking to each other, and can they do that well on the battlefield? It really just starts with the basics and making sure people know what they're doing at a core level before moving on to the tough stuff, you know?
Man, I think you just gave me a great transition, kind of some of your experience at NTC.
Yeah.
38 rotations. I thought I was happy with just my one. My one rotation, yeah, out there as lieutenant, but man, 38, that is a lot of time in the desert.
Yeah. Great place, great unit. Yeah, I had a lot of fun out there. I was op four at NTC for a period of time, and I really enjoyed my time out there. I felt like I learned a lot. Again, I was a platoon leader XO the majority of the time I was there, between 2016 and 2020. So it's been a couple of years. So NTC's, they do a lot of things. So there's a lot of new things going on there. I try to keep track of what's going on there, but it's been a while since I've been there. But I was a great experience being out there for sure.
So what were some of your takeaways? Like, how did you see a logistics operate, like some of the logistics units run out there? I know it's been a while since you've been out there, but if you could pull back some of those memories of the hot desert.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, my opinion, and again, based on my experience at kind of like that company level, mm-hmm, as a platoon leader and everything else, to win out at NTC, right? Like the op four, everybody was jokes with us, like, oh, the op four cheats, blah, blah, blah. We were not cheating, right? Like they know the box so well. We have so many reps under our belt of doing that. Like, we do it every single month. Back when I was there. And again, I love the 11th ACR is a great unit. I really, really enjoyed being there. To win out there, units need to come out. Like, the best units were the ones that took the initiative and maintained a certain amount of tempo of operations, a sustained tempo of pushing and seizing that initiative and keeping the op four off balance was like really critical. Tempo is really important out there. But you got to be able to sustain it. So in terms of logistics, if you outrun your ability to sustain yourself, you're going to run into problems. And when I was out there, I distinctly remember a couple of rotations, battle periods, things like that, when the rotational unit was really fighting hard and really seizing a lot of terrain, doing very well, very aggressive, really maintaining an aggressive tempo, and then everything stopped. And we, came to find out a little bit later that they'd outrun their ability to kind of sustain themselves. Like, they literally just had kind of run out. Best units in the world that can happen to, right? That's that coordination again. And again, this is from my perspective as a really junior level leader, but the coordination between that sustainment and the maneuver commanders is critical. Because in those situations, like, the BSA was still back in like the Ruba at NTC or Fort Irwin, like way back in the rear area, and the maneuver units were way too far ahead, and they were just unable to maintain it. And really, the times I saw that happen on rotations, the units were never really able to recover from that, or not quickly. So, you got to be able to, tempo is great. Tempo doesn't always mean speed, fast, right? It needs to be deliberate. And it's obviously relative to the situation. So, it can make or break a unit for sure. It really is critical.
So who was, in your opinion, was the best unit out there? that you saw?
Yeah. I don't want to call out any units, but again, it's been a long time since I've been out there. And I probably couldn't even remember specific things to begin with. The successful ones that are out there, they take the initiative right off the bat. They can maintain a good tempo and they can kind of bridge the gap between, again, the maneuver and the sustainment piece. Everybody says like the black horse out at NTC, like they always win, right? Now we definitely took some hits on the chin occasionally. You learn from it and move on. But yeah, the ones that can maintain a certain tempo, for out there, it's all about kind of seizing terrain and moving at night, I think, were the really successful ones. I spent a lot of time out in the disruption zone, so the op four disruption zone, with the scouts, kind of doing that fight, the counter reconnaissance fight and things like that. So the units that can move at night, seize terrain and maintain a certain degree of tempo, were really successful.
Okay.
in regards, especially logistics, especially anything like when it came to their security, because I know it's things that we always face is like when it comes to security for logistics, anything that you saw that worked good or not good out there?
Like, oh, for you,
like,
yes,
like from like the op for visit perspective, really, like, were you able to always like push through into their security? Did you see things that worked that didn't work out there?
Yeah. So, I mean, survivability is everything. Yep. And like survive to sustain, right? We need to figure out a way to like make our nodes survivable. And again, there's a bunch of stuff you could make an entire podcast just on like command post or, you know, base clustered BSAs,
oh, yeah,
like hiding and surviving enough to sustain. Because on the battlefield today, there's so many assets that you need to worry about, right? There's so much stuff. You know, units that were, again, good at the basics, right? There was so many times that log packs from rotational units would get lost, convoys would get lost, people would end up in the wrong place. Again, because people were moving so much and things like that. But survivability is key. How are we going to, you know, decentralize ourselves enough and be comfortable with that to be able to survive out on the battlefield, pushing our stuff in different locations, and moving quickly, right? Moving often, using the terrain, things like that, staying survivable is super critical out there. So the units that did the best at it, I mean, moved often, right? Limited the electronic signature in a lot of cases. Were able to make like their command posts or their nodes look not important, right? Not important as possible, right? If something looks important, that's going to be the something that somebody's going to go after. At least like for us scouts, it was like, ooh, that looks important. Let's target that. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do about it. But yeah, it's critical, right? For sustainment, we have to stay survivable to continue the fight.
And I just want to just appreciate the wealth of knowledge and experience that you do have, Dave, just from,
yeah, I don't know.
Well, from the NTC side, I mean, you got to see like 38 rotations. So you got to see a lot of things that worked well, things that didn't work well. From your time as a company commander, you're able to be forward deployed, and now you're able to take this experience and like really bestow it upon the students now.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them a great opportunity to learn from you. And that's a great point of launching this podcast, is like meeting with different people who have multiple different perspectives so we can learn a little bit from each other.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you one final thing. Any final advice for our audience coming from an armor officer?
Yeah. So just, you know, master the basics, build the relationships with the units that you're supporting early on, understand how they fight, right? Cause every unit's going to be different. Understand the commander you're supporting, how they're going to fight, their personality, what they're planning, how they do things, is going to be critical, because you're going to have to see how you can insert yourself in the plan, what they're thinking, understanding that plan, right? Understanding what the eaches are of that and then how to support it the best. But it all starts with the basics, right? Master those basics. It's critical. The little things matter.
Well, this has been a great conversation today. Really appreciate all this great insight from you. Like I said, from your time at NTC, your company command time, being here as an instructor, I think that's really going to help a lot of logisticians out there, help us better build those relationships, really get after the integration of combat arms and logistics. Like you said, it's start the basics.
Yeah.
And really form those relationships with your combat arms counterparts.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's a great way to go about it. I want to thank you, Dave, for coming in today, providing such as great insights. This is a great way to start a podcast series. I know we just barely scratched the surface on this integration. So, but thank you very much for your perspectives, and I look forward to continuing to work with you.
Absolutely. Great to see you. Thank you.
So this is all we have today, folks. Hope you all have enjoyed our first official episode of the Logstat. So be on the lookout for more episodes dropping every 2 weeks. I'm excited to see where this journey continues to take us. Sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil. Or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.